Look at chapter 4 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, if you look at the chapter, you'll notice it's fairly long. And what we'll do is we'll just read down verse by verse, so to speak, and seek to find out what lessons we can from these various little sections. Keeping in mind what the background is to it, these people are busy doing a tremendous work, a work that would leave its mark on world history. Also, it was a work for God and for God's people, a work that could not be done by one man. One man had the vision of doing the work, but it's obvious that he got others to join in with him. It's a good thing when there's cooperation in the work of the Lord. Now, the first lesson we've got to learn tonight is this, that wherever a work is begun for God and is beginning to prosper and show itself, you can rest assured the enemy will get busy. If the devil doesn't bother anyone and mark the Jews and he speaks before the brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? So he began to criticize the workers. Now that's an easy thing to do, to criticize those that are doing the work. It's easy to criticize workers. But I'll suggest this to all our hearts tonight. It's no use criticizing what a man is doing unless you're prepared to do the work and do it in a better way than he's doing it. But here they come along and they begin to criticize the workman. He says, he was wroth, he was angry with them, and he mocked them, made fun of them, ridiculed them. And he turns to the others and he says, look, what do these feeble Jews think they're doing? Now let's keep in mind, it was a great work. Even if you were to go to Jerusalem today and see the walls that are around that city today, and the walls around it today are not the walls that were built then in Nehemiah's day. These walls that he built have been destroyed and others have been built up. But if you see those tremendous walls, you realize this, that it was no easy work. And no feeble men could have completed that work. There were huge stones to be put in place. Heavy burdens to be borne. A tremendous amount of rubbish to be taken out of the way first, before they could lay the foundation and build up the walls and then get the gates on. Feeble men couldn't do it. But you see, he's mocking them. And he mocks them and he says, what do these feeble Jews think they're doing? Will they fortify themselves? Now remember this. For over 70 years, the place has been in ruins. They themselves have been captives down in Babylon. And after 70 years of all this waste, wasted time, and the city lying in ruins, the walls all broken down. What are these feeble Jews? They're nobodies. What do they think they're doing? Do they think they can fortify themselves again? Do they think they're going to be carrying out all their sacrifices again? See, they've got an altar there. Do you think they're going to establish themselves again as a great nation? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And you can picture them going around making fun of them, mocking them. I don't know if you've ever seen people mocking like this, but I've seen it often, especially when you held street meetings and you perhaps got into an area where they didn't want you. You're holding a service on the street. There's some who would mock, some who would give some catcalls as they were passing and make fancy signs, mocking. But perhaps you've never had anything like that done to you publicly, but have you seen people who have mocked you because you even say you're a Christian? There used to be a man at a grocery store. First time I went into it, I hardly knew it was a grocery store. In every panel of his counter, and he had two counters in that grocery store, and in every panel he had a text. I saw more texts in that grocery store than what I've seen in many a Bible store. And he had little children that used to come in there, and if they could look at one of the texts and shut their eyes and quote that text, he would give them a candy. And one day there was a salesman in there taking the orders, and while Joe was busy giving them the orders, in came a little boy and he said, just wait a minute. And the little boy stood and faced where the text was, shut his eyes and quoted the text, and looked at another one like this and shut his eyes and quoted the text. Quoted about three of the texts, he got three candies. Then he got on with giving the order, and then in came another child and he stopped again. So when the salesman was finished, it occupied a lot of his time instead of just getting the order and getting on. So when he went down to the next grocery store, he said, I've been detained today up in Holy Joe's place. And so that name got around, they called him Holy Joe the Grocer. Holy Joe. But one day that same man came into the store. Before ever he could get his order, he stuck his hand right over the counter. He says, good morning, Joe. How are you? And Joe looked at him. He said, something's taking wrong, going wrong with you, is there? Something going right? What's the change that's taking place with you? Ah, Joe, he said, I've got converted. Got converted. See, he was no longer Holy Joe to him. He was like a brother in the Lord. But before that, he'd mocked. And you and I will have to be facing up to this, that if we're going to do a work for the Lord, the work must go on, but remember, there will be those who will come along and they'll criticize, and they'll mock. But as you travel down here, you find that didn't deter them, they kept going on. Look at verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You see, if they can't stop the work by criticizing the workers, they'll start criticizing the work. See, first of all, they're criticizing the workers. These people, Jews, what do they think they're doing? You think they'll accomplish anything? They're going to revive themselves again and be a great nation, worshipping the God? But then they turn around and say, have a look now at what they're doing. They're feeble themselves, and the thing they're building is so weak. Why, if a little fox went up, it would break a hole in it, just like a hedge. Well, I can assure you it'd take a bulldozer to knock down some of it. But you see, if you can't stop the work by criticizing the worker, then criticize the work. What's he doing anyway? Look at it. What is it? Is it accomplishing anything? Compare it to other people. Why, they're not doing anything. It's so feeble. There's nothing to it. You know, it's a strange thing. There used to be a great Presbyterian preacher in Scotland many years ago, and he used to keep his notes. And at the end of one year, he made this little notation in his diary, has been a poor year. Nothing accomplished for God for the whole year. Then he makes a little note at the bottom. Of course, there was little Bobby. But surely we can't count him. He was only a little boy. But still, little Bobby trusted the Lord. That's all. For a whole year. Imagine laboring, preaching week after week for a whole year. By the end, all he had was a little boy. Trusted the Lord. Feeble, isn't it? Yes. For a number of years after that, that old preacher sat in a meeting. When little Bobby was now grown to be a man. He had been a missionary in Africa. Robert Moffat. He was only little Bobby. Trusted the Lord. Grew up to be a household name. A missionary. You see, after all, you don't know what's going to come out of the work. If it's a work for God, it'll flourish. And God himself knows what it is. But it's so easy for people to criticize the workers and then to criticize the work. What do you do? What do you do when the enemy from without begins to criticize? When the one who is opposed to the work of the Lord criticizes those who are seeking to do it and then criticizes what they're doing, that is criticizing the worker and then criticizing the work. Well, verse 4 gives us the answer to it. Perhaps this is what you need tonight. A little word to encourage you. They go to prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Plain words, they went to prayer. Remember, it started with a man in chapter 1 giving himself to prayer. He went and spread the whole thing out before God and said, I'm willing. I'm available. Then in chapter 2, he shoots that prayer silently, as it were, to God. God answers it, and he's given permission by the king. The governor gives him the letter. Now he goes, he knew how to pray. Hear now when the critics begin to criticize the workers and criticize the work. I suggest that Nehemiah takes them now to prayer and says it's time to pray. Let us spread the matter out before the Lord. Tell the Lord about it. You know, sometimes we forget to do that, don't we? When things go hard, we want somebody else to do it for us, or we take it into our own hands, and we make a mess of it, instead of spreading it out before the Lord. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. That's where it starts, we are despised. Ah, but when it comes to the end of verse 5 there, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. In plain words, what these people were doing, they were criticizing the workers who were doing the work for God. And they're criticizing the work they're doing. But here in the prayer meeting, these people know what it is. They are provoking God. You know, that's serious business. When people oppose the things of God, they are actually opposing God himself. So you come to verse 6. I have this marked especially in this chapter for my own benefit. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. In spite of all the criticism, and in spite of what they were saying about them, they commit the matter to the Lord, but they don't sit down and twist their fingers after praying. They get up and they work. So built we the wall. After having a time of prayer and committing it to the Lord, then they go on with the work. So built we the wall. It's what they started. It's what they continued with. And you come to the part where they finished the job. So built we the wall, continuing in the work. Now let us take this to our hearts tonight. I'm a little older than some of you. And some of you perhaps have just begun to do something for the Lord. You may feel what you're doing isn't very much. You may feel that nobody's taking any notice of what you're doing. And sometimes you're apt to say, well, nobody looks at what I'm doing. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. So I'll just give it up. Perhaps you'll feel like that sometime. It's so easy to be like that, you know. So easy to give the work up. I heard once of a Sunday school teacher. And she's so full of enthusiasm. She came to the Sunday school superintendent and said, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Feel the Lord would have me be a Sunday school teacher. And so they found a place for her in the Sunday school. And she went on for a given time. And then she came to the superintendent one day. She said, I'm going to give up my class. He said, you are? Yes. And then she gave her reasons, see, or her excuses. He said to her, have you told the Lord that you're going to give it up? Well, that was new to her. Since when you came and asked for a class, you said you were exercised, that the Lord was exercising you about a class. That's right. Well, now he said, if it was the Lord who was exercising you about taking a Sunday school class, is it the Lord who has told you to give it up? Before you give up your class, he says, you better get on your knees before the Lord and tell the Lord you're giving it up. And tell him why. And I think that was good advice. So built we the wall because what? Because the people had a mind to work. They weren't going to give it up. They were going to continue in the work. Now, starting a thing is one thing. Continuing in it is another until you come to the finished job. One of the things you know that you do at school, I don't know if they do it now at school or not, but you know they used to give us some sort of handcrafts and whatnot, and we called it the woodwork class. I never was any good at that. I could do the scale drawings and get full marks for scale drawings, but when it came to make those things, mine never seemed to be right. I couldn't even plane it. And it was down on one side and up on the other. But some of the boys could work on them. They couldn't do the drawings, but my, they could make them. And at the end of the season there, they were on display, all the things they've made. Wonderful to see those finished articles. Someday, what we do will be on display. There's a day coming when our work will be put on review and on display. So they had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. If they were angry before, they're getting worse. And now there's a conspiracy. Oh, it's bad enough to criticize the workers. It's bad enough to criticize the work. But you see, the workers knew how to commit the matter to the Lord and how to continue in the work. But now, the opposition gets stronger. There's a conspiracy here of all those different people who normally would be against each other, but they're joining their forces together in a conspiracy against the work of the Lord. and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Bad enough talking about them, criticizing them, saying nasty things about them, but now there's going to be a war. They're going to stop them. We might say by hook or by crook, this thing must be stopped. You know, I've seen great changes take place in my lifetime. I already mentioned open-air work, street meetings. That used to be a common thing. Stand at a street corner, I've seen hundreds of people gathered around the street corner. I used to go to one every Monday night for a whole season when I worked in the city of Glasgow, and I picture the man now who was responsible. He got those young fellows to come and meet with him on a Monday night. We used to stand at the corner of Virginia Street and O'Gall Street in the city of Glasgow at night. From 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, 2 hours, open air meeting. Seen hundreds of people gathered around there. In these days, that city had a motto. And the motto for the city of Glasgow was, "Let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word." Wonderful. And there used to be a lot of evangelical work done in the city of Glasgow. But you know, they learned so many things there. And oh, they made advances, you know. And somebody came up with a bright idea that the city motto should be changed. Instead of having "Let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word," it was dropped to "Let Glasgow flourish." Never mind the preaching of the word. The next thing was they had a Roman Catholic appointed as the mayor of the city. Then you can understand what happened after that. Then the opposition came. You couldn't have a meeting there, and you couldn't have it here, and you'd have to get a permit, and you'd only be able to go way up there where there was nobody. And so this thing spread until, I remember one night being down in the city of Liverpool. We're having an open-air meeting down on the pierhead. The policeman came along. He says, "Have you got permission to use that loudspeaker here? We've had complaints." I said, "Who were the complainers? Give us the names of three who complained." He looked at me, you know. I said, "Look, sir, I've never been here before, so how could they complain about me? This is my first night here. I've never been before." I said, "And remember this, this is a Protestant country. And we have the right to stand here and preach. If you tell me I can't use that PA system," I said, "never mind, I'll use my own loudspeaker. It'll be loud enough for me." But I said, "Why don't you go way up the street there and stop that woman from preaching communism up at the corner of Lime Street? She's busy with a PA system up there preaching communism. But you want me to stop preaching the gospel?" And you know, it helped us that night, because it just, when the crowd saw the policeman, they all gathered in. What a crowd gathered round to see what the policeman was doing. And so I spoke loud enough to him that they would hear. And then I got up on the platform at the back of the van, and we had the audience all collected for it. But opposition, yes, you get opposition. They'll even phone the police to come along and have you removed now. You used to have the liberty. Of course, we still have the liberty to come in and meet in a building like this. How long will this continue? You can't read the Bible in the school now. You can't preach the Ten Commandments to the children in the school. That's outlawed. We still can meet like this, but who knows when they'll come along and declare battle against you. They conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Well, what do you do when that comes to that? Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Number one, prayer again. Then, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. And their adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass, that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. See, in plain words, there were those that were coming in from the hillside to help in the walls. They said, they're waiting for us. They're going to slay us. But the fact of the matter is, in spite of their feebleness, in spite of their faint-heartedness, in spite of their fear, they went on. And they began to live inside the city. And they set a watch. So there was both watching and working. Beloved, these two things are required today. We've still got to watch. And we've still got to work. Time's gone. We'll have to wait for another week to get on to the next part of this chapter. To see what it meant to watch and to work. Perhaps, Linwood, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?